Somebody with a Splash, the first of the three concerts. You may know by now The Drill. It's the idea of a party, a symphony concert, and a real cross current in many, many ways. The music in the lounge with a terrific jazz guitarist, Rob Vaughn, will be there. And then the concert, which always juxtaposes a classic from the past, sometimes the dim past, with music very much of our time. In a little bit, we'll spend some time with Harry Stafylakis and his Arc of Horizon. But why not start with a little bit of Frank Zappa? He's on the program. This is not G-Spot Tornado. This is Dwarf Nebula Processional. There it is, the Dwarf Nebula Processional. We won't go in processional march. We won't go on into Dwarf Nebula. Music of Frank Zappa and Harry Stafylakis. How long have you been waiting to have Frank Zappa for your warm-up band?
I've never even considered that it would be a possibility.
It makes everything you've done so far in your life worthwhile.
To some degree, yeah, sure.
Well, and that's the biased place I'm starting. Harry is the composer whose piece, Arc of Horizon, is on the concert tonight, and you're wearing a lovely three-piece suit and a white shirt and looking like you could be a stockbroker. But there's part of your past that's a little closer to Frank Zappa than to stockbroker, isn't there?
There sure is, yeah.
And let's start there.
All right.
So tell me about your musical past.
Well, it's fairly complicated. I assume you're talking about the metal side of things.
That, among other things, I want the whole story.
Okay,
we have all the time we need.
All right. I grew up in a Greek household in an Italian neighborhood in French Canada, so there was a lot of cultural diversity in my upbringing. My grandfather, Angelos Drosopoulos, was a noted clarinetist, a Greek clarinetist, who had immigrated to Canada. And so I grew up in my very early years listening to him practice the clarinet, very virtuosic, traditional Greek clarinet playing. And it's among my earliest memories is sitting at his feet while he practiced his instrument. He passed away when I was three, so this is a rather early name.
Strong memory.
Yeah, quite striking. And my sister, who's a couple of years older than me, had started taking piano lessons when she was around six. So when I was four, I insisted I had to have them too. And so I learned the piano and studied for a good 11 years until my teenage years. I was in high school and decided that metal was the right thing for me. I had just discovered it, and I jumped camp from the piano, classical piano world, to electric guitar. You know, loved bands like Metallica and Pantera and Iron Maiden and all those classic metal bands. And as the years progressed, you know, I played in multiple bands and around Montreal in Canada, and eventually came across this subgenre of metal called progressive metal, which is a particularly it's a style of metal that aspires, has high art aspirations, much like the progressive rock of the 60s and 70s. And it's really noted for its rhythmic complexity, really, you know, complex, interesting rhythmic techniques that, while maintaining the sense of groove of, you know, straight up rock and metal music and pop music, always tries to disjoint it and displace it in some way that I found really interesting. It always defies expectation in some way.
Let me stop you there and ask you how, kind of what was going on in your head while you were doing it relative to you and the people with you? Was it kind of improvised group composing? How would you define the actual musical creation complexly that you were doing?
Okay, yeah, that's a good question. Well, originally, as with most bands, you start by playing covers. You play the music of your favorite bands. And once I really grew into my own as an instrumentalist, I was poached by another band, a more established band in Montreal, a metal band, Heaven's Misery, whose principal songwriter, I guess, saw something in me, invited me to start writing some songs with him. And that's when composition started for me. I was about 16 years old then, maybe 17. And so we had a few initial meetings where we sat down, just the two of us, with guitars and microphones and a, you know, 8-track recorder, and we started writing music. And from then, I became kind of principal songwriter for every band that I played with, and kind of insisted that I didn't pursue musical education beyond my early training in classical piano. I'm stubborn in that way, so I insisted on figuring it out for myself. I didn't want music theory to corrupt the natural creative process.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
So for many years, that's what I did. I was the principal songwriter for my main bands, and also played with some other bands. And I'd compose the music, figured out how to notate to some degree using whatever software I could find, tablatures and stuff that I'd share with a band. We'd work out the arrangements together, do demo after demo as we refined the music. And eventually, I realized I hit a certain cap. I mean, it's interesting that you bring up the question of collaboration. Of course, with a band, there is a certain degree of democracy, even if there is a principal songwriter and band leader, which I was. And so at some point, I realized that I was not so much interested in the compromises at the compositional level that sometimes are demanded by your teammates, your bandmates, and realized that that high art aspiration of progressive metal really was resonating with my classical music background, and I decided to go back to school and study composition and music theory and all the stuff that I had avoided, and figured I hit a certain ceiling creatively and it was time to get past it. And, you know, I had discovered orchestral music, like Rachmaninoff's Second Symphony was really an incredibly impactful piece for me. And I thought, that's what I want to do. I want to be a composer working on my own.
So you would sit in a classroom with somebody maybe younger than you who had not had those experiences. Mm-hmm. And you would realize you were perceiving what was being taught in a very different way, didn't you?
That's exactly right, yes.
Yeah, and so then one day you woke up and you said, "I am a composer."
Well, it takes a while to earn that badge.
Yeah,
I remember one of my earliest pieces while I was doing the equivalent of an associate's degree in the province of Quebec. There's a level of education between high school and college called Cégep, which is a collegial studies diploma. So I did a 2-year music program there where I took the usual music classes as well as composition. And one of my earliest projects for that class, I remember the pianist or the composition teacher bringing the score back to me after the pianist had just played it and telling me, "You should change this, this, and this because the pianist said so." And I said, "Well, I'm the composer. This is what I really intended." He said, "You're not a composer yet." "Oh, all right. Okay, so I have to earn it. Fine." And I worked really hard. As you say, I came to it at a later age in my mid-20s, early to mid-20s. So my classmates were all younger than me and perhaps had in some way more experience of a different sort. On the other hand, I had the professional experience of yet another sort that brought a certain degree of maturity, I think, to my process, my education process, how I imbibed all the information that was being offered to me. And I was very, very ambitious and very interested in learning everything I could.
My guest, Harry Stafylakis, and he is the composer of the piece that is at the center of tonight's Symphony with a Splash concert, Arc of Horizon. And so let's kind of move toward that piece and its Lake George implications, because I studied in New York State and I was real aware of Lake George. There's some kind of very special music thing that happens there, isn't there?
There is, yeah. The Lake George Music Festival has been going for a few years now. It's a fairly young festival, but has been growing. Really a fascinating thing. They bring in excellent musicians, orchestral and chamber musicians from around the country as well as outside the country. And they form an orchestra and some various chamber ensembles, string quartets and such. And it's really something special. I was there last year. I was in one of the honorable mentions for the composition competition for my piece, Never the Same River. And so I got to visit the festival and was really impressed with the collegial atmosphere. You know, some festivals can be, there's quite a sense of competition between the musicians and the composers and such. And there it was really just a very positive attitude. There was a lot of contemporary music mixed with the classics of various eras. And so I was really excited and honored when they contacted me to commission this piece.
Nice. And so was this piece played last summer at just past season, like 3 months ago, essentially?
Exactly right. This past August, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And as a small chamber work?
Let's say a large chamber work. Chamber orchestra of 15 players, which in some composers' hands could feel like a small chamber work. I tend to over orchestrate everything. I go for the big sound, the wall of sound. So hopefully I think I achieved it again with this piece, where 15 players sound more like a full orchestra.
Okay. Yeah. And let's delve into the piece. Always the question of the title versus the piece, you know, chicken and egg and all of that stuff. Talk about the music and the title and their relationship.
Okay, the title, Arc of Horizon, Horizon Kyklos from the Greek. So the idea with this piece, because it was commissioned by Lake George Music Festival, I wanted to somehow celebrate Lake George itself. So I did a little bit of research, as I am wont to do while preparing a composition, and it kind of wrote itself conceptually. I am from Montreal. I am now based in New York City. Lake George happens to be right about in the middle. And throughout my life, you know, from Montreal, we'd go on family trips, driving down to New York. And now living in New York, I'm constantly traveling back and forth to Montreal, where my family lives and where I'm composer in residence with the McGill Chamber Orchestra. And I'd always pass by these signs on the highway, on the freeway, Lake George, Lake George Village. And I'd never actually stopped in there until the previous year in 2014, when the Lake George Music Festival composition competition thing happened. So I thought that this was an ideal time and an ideal piece for me to explore a kind of autobiographical piece that was that kind of pursued or explored my past as a metal musician in Montreal and my current professional life as a composer of contemporary art music in New York. So the idea being that whenever I'm traveling from one city to the other, each one kind of represents one aspect of my musical persona. And whenever I get to the next city, I always look back and think, no, that's what I really wanted. I want to be more metal. I want to be more like what I used to be. And then I'd go back there and look back and think, no. New York's the place to be in the contemporary concert music. That's really what I'm into right now. So chasing the horizon, by definition, unattainable.
Nice. And so this piece called Arc of Horizon, and you have a bit of it for us to hear. Now, it has... Well, even by the very dichotomy that you've described, it has more than one mood, more than one layer. But where is it starting in the bit that we're about to hear?
We're about to hear. It starts with a theme that is a kind of rising scale, but it's a scale that's always not quite complete. It starts as two ascending notes and then goes back in three notes and then goes back in four notes, five notes, six notes, never quite reaching completion. So in itself, that small gesture that you'll hear right at the beginning represents that constant striving.
Well, let's hear a little bit of it. This is the beginning of Arc of Horizon by my guest, Harry Staphylakis. Thank you. Well, that's the opening of the piece from tonight's concert, Harry Staphylakis's Arc of Horizon. So, Harry, you had already described that sense of the arc, the horizon, if it will. And there's even this image I see even on your phone that looks like a kind of horizon, a kind of arc, and a kind of where the sun might be rising or setting on that, as you described earlier. And I don't want to sell it short, but I can say we certainly heard this, and we heard this growing thing that happened, and then a little bit of rhythm came in, and we started getting another style contrast. Tell us about the next little ways into this piece, what we're about to hear.
Well, the next 8 minutes or so of the piece, the tempo marking or character marking for that in the conductor score is relentless. And I think that's the best description for that section. It's a good 8 minutes of just constant driving rhythm, often asymmetrical and somehow disjunct or rhythmically or metrically dissonant. And here we have constantly like these kind of short sections. It's very sectional. There's a constant flow, a constant rhythmic drive, but these sections are all characterized by a different tonal center and always some kind of epic theme. There's a lot of brass music that's going on. There's a lot of counterpoint in the upper strings, the woodwinds and the brass, while the percussion and the piano and the lower strings are holding down this kind of driving groove.
So let's get a taste of that. We won't do it all because we certainly want to have the whole experience tonight, but let's return to Arc of Horizon by Harry Staphylakis. We'll leave it there. There's so much more, but you get the sense of the ongoing, really the ongoing delight of very unified different sounds in about the first 4 minutes of Arc of Horizon that we have heard the piece. It's at the center of tonight's Symphony with a Splash concert. Harry, would you say that's Have other people told you that there's a nice unification about how the different elements seem to really naturally flow to each other? Something you work at?
That's very much something that I work at, and really at the core of my compositional strategy. I do have so many influences somewhere in my background. I really love music of various types, and inevitably they'll make their way into my compositions. But I really believe that the true kind of mark of a composer is how they handle transitions, how they get from section to section in a kind of, whether it's the individual composer's approach is a seamless flowing strategy. In some cases, it's really hard transitions. You know, the music of John Zorn is like that, where it's really about these sharp cuts between things, which I also occasionally use, though I'm really fond of this kind of idea growing into idea as seamlessly as possible. I aim for slick.
Good. Well, we'll hear that and much more. Arc of Horizon tonight. Frank Zappa's G-spot Tornado, Arc of Horizon, and then the Beethoven Symphony No. 8. Speaking of seamless in its own certain way. So, once upon a time, there you were working in a metal band, probably making some decent money. No, one always hopes. And then now you're a classical contemporary composer, probably not making decent money. Talk about what a person like you does as a life plan.
Well, I can say, first of all, that I've been fortunate that I'm making a living. You know, I can get by even though I live in New York City doing what I do. Much of my life is being a composer, writing music, working with ensembles, going to concerts. You know, it's a huge part of it, is always being at whatever contemporary music or classical music or fusion type concert, and really keeping my finger on the pulse of what's going on in the scene. And I'm lucky that in New York City, really, you have so many different zones or enclaves within the contemporary music world that it's a sort of a microcosm of what's going on in the U.S. and North America in general. So there's that. And I also teach at the City College of New York. I teach mainly music theory. I'm currently completing my doctorate, presumably, at the City University of New York Graduate Center, where my doctoral research is on rhythm and meter in progressive metal. So I'm fortunate again to live in a time, this postmodern world, where I can be a legitimate metal scholar with a nice research grant from the Social Sciences and Humanities Research Council of Canada. That being said, composition life is taking up a lot of my time, as is my teaching, which I take very seriously. And so the degree is not moving along as quickly as I would have liked, but it's for good reasons.
But life and art are moving along.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so what makes you drive to come all the way to Spokane for one of your pieces?
Well, this is the third piece of mine that the Spokane Symphony is playing. Last year, they played my piece, Brittle Fracture, for orchestra, soon after it was premiered by the American Composers Orchestra at the New York Philharmonic's Biennial Festival. And this past February, they played a chamber piece of mine on one of their chamber concerts, Scars and Braids. And so once this commission for Arc of Horizon from the Lake George Music Festival was underway, I'd already had it in mind that it'd be great to make a full orchestra version of this piece. It was already growing in my head, and I could see how it could really work as an orchestra piece. So I got back in touch with Eckhard Proy, who's been a really incredible advocate of contemporary music and incredibly supportive by performing my music, and asked him if he was interested, and he was. And so I thought, this is great. This will be a great opportunity for me to finally come out to Spokane and listen and hear the symphony in person. And the ASCAP Foundation awarded me a Leonard Bernstein Award to help get me out here. And so, here we are.
So did you hear a rehearsal last night?
I did. I heard a rehearsal last night and the night before.
Any surprises?
In
what you'd written and then what came out?
There are always surprises. Orchestration is really one of the most kind of ephemeral and trying and challenging aspects of composition. No matter how much one studies, as my mentor and teacher David Deltredici, the great composer, often tells me you can never learn orchestration and you can't teach it. It's something that you just learn from experience. And of course, the big challenge is there is how do you get experience as an orchestral composer if you haven't already orchestrated in a fairly effective way? The first time I hear any piece being played by an orchestra is always, you know, I have my score with me, I have my pencil, and I'm marking furiously and making adjustments. And I'm always happy to make adjustments for the players, for the conductor, for the hall, for whatever. I understand that, you know, there are realities and what's in my head needs to be adjusted sometimes.
Right. My guest, Harry Staphylakis, and his piece tonight, Arc of Horizon. You referred to your previous piece, Brittle Fracture. Why don't we go out with that?
All right.
brittle fracture by Harry Staphylakis, the composer whose piece Arc of Horizon, the Horizon, is on the Spokane Symphony Concert tonight. Symphony with a Splash is that. It's the regular thing they do where it is designed to be a concert experience and a party all blown in to one. The social hour begins at 5 o'clock. The concert begins promptly at 7 o'clock. So there's a lot going on in the lobby. There's food, drink, and a jazz guitarist doing that. And then it's about a one-hour concert in the lobby from 7 to 8. So the whole experience still leaves time with other things tonight, of which there are many. I would quickly point out that if you wanted to go a little later than 5 o'clock, you could have caught a few of the First Friday art openings, including especially the Lila Gervin exhibit at Dodson's. Catch that at 5 and then go on in for the party at the Fox and then culminating in the concert at 7, including the music by the gentleman that was spending time with me. And what a pleasure to have had him here. It's a great weekend for the arts, and we'll keep covering it in many ways. Pat Metheny will be in this afternoon to spend some time with Brian.